pause a moment so they can see you. And this is the...
hello, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
And this is Dawn Carpenter. And being well prepared for us.
And I'm not wet, but it looks like
it's raining out there.
Four.
Yeah, it's coming down.
Well, thank you for coming to speak with us today. I'm Nancy Black, and I'm just going to explain the process. You'll have 3 to 5 minutes to make an opening statement, and then we have a set of 7 questions that we've asked all of the candidates. Then you'll have an opportunity to ask any questions about the role of a trustee and the responsibilities, and a 2 to 3 minute closing statement. One of our members may be joining us in progress. He had something he had to step away from. So I don't mean to be disruptive. If no. Somebody walks in, just keep going, okay?
Not a problem.
Okay, well.
Are you ready?
We're ready if
can
you're
you
ready.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
It seems far away, but if you can hear me, I will pretend it's not sitting there. Good morning. Thank you for welcoming me in the hallway, many of you. That was kind of nice. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to possibly serve. And thank you for your service on the council. It's important, and I'm glad you're here. And I did write my statement because otherwise I might blather on too long. So apologies for that. Like many fortunate working Minnesotans, I've had a good life. I grew up in a small town in southeastern Minnesota and attended public schools. I went to college, got a job, built a career. I got married, have 2 children in Minneapolis public schools, and own my home, or at least the part the bank doesn't own. Yet I share the experiences of many for whom the Minsky institutions offer the opportunity to advance beyond the circumstances of birth. I was the first in my extended family to go to college. Like many children today, I was raised by a single working mom. I grew up in a rental apartment. I also share the experiences of many others in Minnesota who have taken the risk to start businesses and nonprofits to serve their communities. I currently own and operate my own small business, and I also started 2 nonprofit organizations. As a recent board member and board president of the Minneapolis Community and Technical College Foundation, I learned firsthand about the successes and challenges of the Minsky system and the institutions that are in it. I also learned about the amazing students who attend Minsky schools. I recently attended a dinner at the home of Chancellor Rosenstone to learn about his vision for Minsky, and in particular the challenge and opportunity of workforce development. While the U of M as a leading research institution is critical to the economy of Minnesota, it is Minsky that is in the business of educating any and all Minnesotans in trades and professions right out of high school, but also later in life. We prepare the state's teachers, police officers, business owners, machinists, and yes, nurses. The Minsky institutions face a number of challenges: declining state revenues and increasing debt, increasing costs, affordability of tuition, matching workforce needs with student learning and interest, improving completion and graduation rates, college readiness, access, all while maintaining excellence. 2 educational experiences are seared in my memory. The first was a conversation with my high school guidance counselor. He asked what my career interest was, and I said, well, it might be medicine. And he said, that's great, you'd make a wonderful nurse. And while becoming a nurse is a wonderful aspiration, I was thinking maybe a doctor, like a psychiatrist, because it required a lot of school, and I love school. As you're laughing revealed, he presumed because I was a girl that I should become a nurse, and it was not 1950. The second was just out of college. I moved to Washington, D.C., and my future husband encouraged me to volunteer with the Washington Literacy Council. Each volunteer is paired with an adult who wants to learn to read. Both the young man I tutored and the one my husband tutored had diplomas from high school, and neither one could even begin to read the phrase, "See Jane Run." I tell you these stories to illustrate the critical importance and influence of the K-12 system to inspire and prepare students to go to college, and the need for Minsky to partner with schools to ensure access and preparedness.
Take your time.
At MCTC, we embarked on an audacious effort called The Power of You. Over 6 years, we raised $6 million from the private sector to fund scholarships for Minneapolis public school students. The power was this: if you graduated from Minneapolis public schools, you received a scholarship for 100% of tuition. Through active partnership with the city's schools, students and families who had never considered college an option now did, and they enrolled and they succeeded. Thank you. Mm. And I promise I won't tear up anymore.
Oh.
That's just fine. Okay, I believe we'll start with Dave.
Please describe your understanding of the role of a trustee and explain why you consider yourself to be a good candidate for this role.
Sure. The trustee, like any governing board member of an institution, has an important fiduciary role to oversee the finances of the Minscu system, an important role to review, hire, and possibly fire the chief executive, the chancellor in this case, to review budgets and other important documents and principles of the system and of the schools, to be an advocate in the community and possibly with the legislature and other possible donors and funders of the school system. Those would, I think, be some of the primary roles. I've served on a number of governing boards, both as president in two cases and also as an executive who was overseen by governing boards. And so one key thing, I think, is to understand the role of the executive, or in this case the chancellor, and the role of the board. The role of the board is not to hire and fire university presidents, for example. That's the chancellor's responsibility. And to work collaboratively as a group of people from across the state to make sure that Minnesota's interests, and the taxpayers' interests, and the students' interests are well represented.
That leads into the next question.
Sure.
Yes, it does. You touched up on it a little bit more, so we're going to ask you to expand now.
Sure.
Describe your past board experience and its relevance to the Board of Trustees.
Okay. So the most relevant, I mentioned in my opening remarks, is serving on the board of the Minneapolis Community and Technical College, which is part of, in the Minscu system, on their foundation board. And the foundation raises about $1 million a year for scholarships for students, which is makes it one of the top two-year schools in the system for its scholarship work. And I served as the president for 2 years and on the board for seven. I also served as the board president for an organization called the Great Plains Institute. They're based here in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. They work in the Midwest region on energy policy. Did a lot of work with the Midwestern governors, brokering collaborative energy solutions. I've been on that board for a long time, probably 12 years. And I've been on four other governing boards and a number of other advisory boards. I currently serve on two. I actually have an application in to serve on a national board of a small policy organization, although I guess if this happens, I probably won't be able to do that too. But does that answer your question?
Very much so. Thank you very much.
I've got the third of seven set questions that every applicant has been given. What do you see as the key issues on the horizon for the education in Minnesota, or higher education, and along with that, and for Minscu in particular?
I like that question. I think one is that Minnesota is changing. The state is becoming more diverse. More immigrants are coming to Minnesota. And it's imperative that for our state's economy and our well-being, given the kinds of jobs that are in the workplace today, that most Minnesotans need some form of higher education. It may be a technical certificate. It may not need to be a four-year degree. But it's really imperative that our higher education system do all it can to get as many Minnesotans into higher education. And Minscu, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, is on the front lines of that. the university is more selective, right? You have to have certain ACT or SAT scores to attend. MinSKU takes most students. One thing I know that is a challenge is college readiness, and so it's also important for the MinSKU system to do more work with the K-12 system to make sure students come to college ready instead of needing remedial help in math in particular, as well as reading in some cases, like that poor fellow from Washington, D.C., which I hope Minnesota's not graduating people out of high school but can't read at a kindergarten level. On the other end of the spectrum, and I know MinSKU, again, is leading the way on this, is partnering with the state's business community and local communities to find out what jobs are coming and making sure there's proper curriculum and helping students understand that, you know, there may be too many massage therapists right now, but we have a dearth of engineers. And, you know, is there a way to make sure that the students are graduating with degrees that will get them jobs? I know another really important issue for higher education, both the U system and the MinSKU system, is declining state funding. I believe it's down about half in the last 10 years for MinSKU. And so it's going to be really important, and I don't see that improving a whole lot in the near term, given the budget deficit situation that the state continues to face year after year. We have to be very creative about, like the MCTC has done, going out and finding more revenue from non-state governmental sources, doing more partnering, as MinSKU currently does, with businesses for workforce training, which can help bring in money to the school. And then, of course, I mentioned access and affordability, and I think, again, scholarships are important, and helping students to understand that they can go to some form of higher education. I'm talking too long. If I didn't cover something, let me know later.
Next question is, describe your understanding of diversity and your experience working with diverse populations.
Sure. Diversity means many things, first of all. It can mean racial and ethnic diversity. That's what most people think. In Minnesota, of course, its population is becoming more diverse in that way. Diversity in the higher education system also means, I mean, we always think of kids coming out of high school going to college, and that's in some cases a small percent or 25% of the student population at MCTC. So learners are very diverse. They come later in life. They're in a career or a job, and then that job goes away and they need to retrain. So they're another form of learner. Many learners are in jobs, but they need to improve their skills or update their skills, so they may come back to a MinSKU institution to learn. Another form of diversity are people's backgrounds, obviously. Some come from very modest means. Some, like myself, had no people in their family who'd ever gone to college. Others, you know, have long traditions of higher education. So, again, it's important to meet people where they are in their learning experience. And a final thing that's important, it's not necessarily diversity, but I know at MCTC it was very true. And this was shocking to me. Graduation rates today in the United States are much lower than I thought they are. And I apologize, I can't tell you what it is, but it's. I thought it would be 90%, and it's not even close to that, even at the University of Minnesota. Part of the challenge we found at MCTC is that tuition is only obviously a part of the factor on whether someone's in school or not. And other factors like housing, transportation, child care, also weigh on whether a student can afford to be in school and stay in school. So I think it's important, in particular for MinSKU, that we address the full person that comes to school. And I know at MCTC the students voted to take student fees and build a health clinic, and they're now serving 500 students per month in that health clinic, most of whom don't have health insurance. So it's an important function. In terms of how I've worked with diverse communities, obviously at MCTC I did. My children go to a very diverse elementary school in Minneapolis, so on a regular basis I'm working with lots of families, Latino, Somali, African American, in the PTA and in classrooms, and just in daily life now, right? I mean, it's no longer Lily White, Minnesota, thankfully.
Thank you.
Sure.
Our next question is, what is your vision for maximizing access to educational opportunities for students?
I think affordability is obviously really important for access, because if you can't afford it, you can't access it. So that's critical. And tuition, other costs I just discussed, scholarships all play into the affordability piece of access. Another important part of access is believing one can access higher education again. And a lot of people don't believe they can, and we need to work on that. That's really important. I know in Minneapolis, for example, the mayor was instrumental in going to every single school and talking about the Power of You program. So someone that they knew as a public figure was telling families that their students could go to college. Employers, I think, play a very important role in access for training programs and helping workers improve their skills so they can advance in their careers. And I think, obviously, communities and families play a really important role. You know, it's hard to do things by yourself.
Your turn.
The next question is, describe the unique challenges of a system comprised of technical community, colleges, and state universities.
That's a very good question. I don't think it's easily managed, and because I haven't been part of it, I don't have a lot of brilliance in that regard. MCTC did not have a four-year college. And I know the student bodies at those schools tend to be a little more traditional, meaning more out of high school students who are on four-year career paths, you know, to good paying professional jobs. I think an important element is that the chancellor and the board need to let the institutions serve their unique roles. I'm not a big fan of too much top-down management. I mean, obviously, there are certain criteria that need to be met and certain, you know, procedures that need to be followed. But I think that it's important that each institution fit its student body and its community and its core curriculum and knows what that is and is allowed to do it. And then it's also important to have a sharing of best practices across the system. So, for example, I think it's 7 four-year institutions probably have a lot in common in some ways, and hopefully that being part of a system allows them to share information and share best practices. Similarly, the two-year community colleges and the technical colleges, a lot of them now are merged, which is probably helpful. But I don't have enormous wisdom on that question, I hate to say.
Next question is, what could be a perceived conflict of interest for you in a trustee role, and how would you handle that situation?
The one that I can imagine, my sister-in-law works for one of the institutions, and she's a member of the union. So I suppose something could arise in that regard. I would certainly, if there were such conflict, I would disclose that immediately to the full board. Another one I could imagine is sometimes the Minsky system has contracts that they put out, and people bid on those, and I might know some people, and they may call me and say, hey, can you help us get this contract? And I know that that's not the role of a trustee to grease the wheel for friends or that sort of thing. My husband works for a large employer in Minnesota. I don't know if they're working with any Minsky schools on training programs. They may be. That probably would be more collaborative, not conflict. But in my own personal situation, I don't have anything that I can foresee as a conflict at this point. But I understand the real importance of disclosure, and then if there is a conflict, to remove myself from the process. Mm-hmm. and not be a part of it, of any decision making.
Okay, thank you. Now we'll throw it open to see if there's any questions from board members. Mm-hmm. Okay, Sonia.
Ryan, please. Within the role of trustee, much attention is given to the University of Minnesota and the Minsky system. But there are greater Minnesota out-of-state institutions that need equal attention outside of the Twin Cities. How would you assure equitable attention to those institutions in outer Minnesota?
I think that's an important question. As the population continues to move to the metropolitan area and even to population centers around the state like Rochester, Duluth, St. Cloud, it's really important that I grew up in a small town. A lot of people in Minnesota want to stay in small communities or small cities. Mm-hmm. And the Minsky institutions are critical institutions in those communities. And they allow local people to go to school locally and then to find jobs locally. For example, I grew up near Rochester, people in my community, a number of them go to Rochester Community and Technical College. A lot of them go into nursing or other forms of health care because of the Mayo Clinic. My mom worked at IBM. So the local institutions are kind of the key between the students and the businesses and nonprofits that are in those communities, and they provide an important link and allow people to live locally. I think that the Minsky trustees and the chancellor need to put equal attention and investment in all of the institutions. I don't think the four-year institutions are more important than the technical colleges. I think they're equally important. In my closing remarks, I was going to mention an exciting initiative that's going on in the northeastern part of the state. I'll save it for that. That's working with employers and the residents to make sure they're trained for local jobs. And I know the university, too, with the Twin Cities campus seems to get all the focus. And, there are other important campuses on the state doing important work.
Thank you.
Billy?
Yeah. Hi, Dawn.
Hi.
It's a cliche to say that things are changing. But they are. Those of us who live on a computer know that for a while we had to buy a new one every 2 or 3 years because things changed. And I'm looking at the impact of technology on education, and if you have any thoughts about perhaps both the positive and the negative aspects of technology. But it's clear that with the problems we have of access and the conveying of information to a new generation, that we do have to to look at new ways.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So I think that the negatives of technology is that they increase costs, both mm-hmm. to the student and to the schools, because you have to constantly update.
Yeah.
The other thing is that to the extent we're all on our computers and our phones, it has resulted in some cases less human interaction. I mean, people sit across the table from each other and text instead of talking. I think, though, there are probably more positives. For example, distance learning is an important thing, again, especially for rural folks. And technology offers a way to learn from home. If you're a mom, you have kids, and you can't go to school, you can take classes at home when your kids are sleeping or they're at school or whatever. So I think it offers important learning opportunities for non-traditional students in particular, and young people obviously now are all very technology oriented, and Minsky's got to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
The for-profit universities mm-hmm. obviously are using technology in significant ways. And I think that the bricks and mortar schools, if you will, like the Minsky institutions, are working hard to integrate technology into the learning curriculum without relying completely upon it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. No, I just wanted to know your thoughts on the matter. Thank you.
Sure.
Ron?
As being a board member, Dawn, of the trustees,
yes.
you represent all people
yes.
in the state of Minnesota, and you shouldn't represent any special interest, constituency, or any community.
Right.
Notwithstanding that, there's many subcommittees. And if you would be on the Board of Trustees, what type of a interest would you have or subcommittee, and what would be the objective of that committee that you subcommittee you would serve on?
That's kind of an exciting question. This is not my favorite thing to do, but I think it's really important, and I think that one area I'd like to focus on is in this area of expanding the sources of revenue that come to the Minsky system, but also to the individual institutions. Based on my experience on the MCTC Foundation with raising private dollars for scholarships, given federal and state budgets, doesn't look like those funds are growing. So I think the Board of Trustees needs to take an active role in helping identify sources of funding for higher education outside of state funding in particular. I think there are some federal grants that we could get. I know MCTC has gotten some, and the feds have a lot more money than the state does, even though they have budget problems. We have a very blessed with a wonderful business community in this state, large and small, and I think businesses understand the really critical importance of well-educated workers and probably would step up their charitable deductions to them. So that would be one area I'd like to work on. And then the other, I think, is really helping Minsky to integrate as best it can with the K-12 system for preparing students, and then with the business community and the labor movement to make sure workers are trained for the jobs of the future. Because there's nothing worse than having a degree and not being able to find a job, right? And you have to pay back loans. Or to get to college and realize you're not ready for half the classes. And then if you fail, you drop out, and that doesn't help anybody. So it really, it's a whole system that it's not an isolated, Minsky is not an isolated, you know, institution.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm interested in, given your educational background,
right,
how you became involved with the MCTC Foundation.
That's a very good question. You know, like most things in life, a colleague of mine became the executive director of the foundation, and he asked me to consider serving. And he's done an amazing job. He's now actually the dean of workforce development at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And The board there is very diverse. It's fantastic. It's racially diverse, gender diverse. We have business people, small business people, county employees, educators, all kinds of folks on the board. It's a wonderful organization to be part of. So I was proud and honored to serve.
Good. Thank you. Are there any other questions? Okay, we're showing the board packet from last month to all of the candidates who are coming through. Yes, and you know, some of it's double-sided, and it ranges everything from budgets to policies like professor emeriti and things like that.
Sure, yeah.
So considering that you have your own business and your own time constraints, we just want people to know what they're getting, what they may have to sacrifice. It is,
I know,
the trustees really give a lot of time and energy and do sacrifice. Okay. I think we're ready for your 2 to 3 minute close. If there's anything more you'd like to tell us.
Thank you for inviting me again, and I would be honored to serve on the Board of Trustees of the Minsky system. My upbringing in rural Minnesota, coupled with my current residency in the Twin Cities, I think helps me bring that statewide perspective to the board for an at-large position. I completely agree you're there to really represent everybody in the state, and because we're all in it together, right? I think one of my greatest strengths is the ability to work well with people from across the ideological political spectrum, as well as with people from all walks of life. Corporate CEOs, most of my family are truck drivers or involved in agriculture or construction. So I'm very comfortable with students to, you know, VIP type characters. And I'd welcome the opportunity to work with the board, the chancellor, his team, the many Minsky partners, and the state government, who still is the primary funder of Minsky. I believe my experience at MCTC is important to the challenges and opportunities facing the entire system and all of the institutions. And MCTC does have the most diverse student body in the system. And many of the students come from modest means, are non-traditional students, and many have no family history of higher education. And our MCTC Foundation has been on the front lines of access, affordability, graduation rates, and working with high schools on preparedness. Minsky has over, you may not know this, it was shocking to me, has over 6,000 partnerships with Minnesota businesses. And one very exciting effort underway is with the five northeastern Minnesota community colleges with a hands-on learning program, meaning when you come, they give you a real-world business problem, and it's your job to solve it. And that program is preparing Arrowhead residents for engineering jobs that are growing in the region in the mining and power companies. And these students then complete their four-year degree on campus in Virginia, Minnesota, through Mankato. I was going to say Mankato State, Minnesota State University at Mankato. Sorry, tells you my age. This program will help to ensure that northeastern Minnesota businesses have the skilled workers they need and the residents have the good-paying jobs that they need to stay in their communities. And it's won awards. It's a model. In fact, Chancellor was on the radio when you all were in this room yesterday. He was on the radio yesterday morning, and he singled this out. And 2 days earlier, I talked to one of my clients and because I'd heard about this, and I asked him more about the program. And it's very exciting, and it's one of those things I think could be modeled in other parts of the state for different, maybe not engineering, but other key, you know, areas of study. So as example illustrates, Minsky institutions provide incredible value to our state, to our communities, to our businesses, and most importantly, to Minnesota students. It is our job to tell that story, and I'd be honored to be one of the storytellers. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you again for doing what you're doing. I know it's hard work.